Fellowship, and VIC stands for Vaccine Information Coalition. You're listening to Progressive Radio Network, the most listened to, commercial-free, and truth radio program in the world. My name is Renee, and I'm joined today with Linda and Ingrid, who we consider co-hosts to our show when we need to keep everyone updated with what in the cell is going on. Today, towards the end of the show today, we're going to be having a guest join from us on the website, thecontrolgroup.org. She'll be joining us for a few minutes at the end, and hopefully we'll have her on our, as a guest as well soon, sharing the wonderful work they are doing. We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which can be accessed live on the front page of our website on prn.fm, or later on the front page of our website. To have any questions you may have, please contact 862-800-6805, leave your name, your question, and let them know it's for our show, and we'll address them in next week's show. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Hi, Renee.
Well, we've got lots to share, and I want to start the show off, if you don't mind, with someone that I've been, sending parents of, children that they do not want or choose not to vaccinate for probably 20 years plus. We've been sending people to this gentleman, Alan Phillips is his name. And we were just informed by Stop Mandatory Vaccinations that he has been arrested, of course, preventing them from taking his records. Correct, girls?
Well, no, yeah. It was considered a court order, and they considered it contempt of court, a court order. So that's what he's charged with.
Yeah, he was put in jail for protecting his client's confidentiality because they wanted his client's records, and he refused.
Correct.
And they had no evidence of wrongdoing either, which is something that's important to, point out.
Right.
So in protecting his clients, he refused, and so they put him in jail.
Yeah.
Right.
So people need to be aware of it, obviously, because he was the only one I was aware of any longer. I know with Feilenbaum years ago that used to do presentations with me, they took his license away right away when he started presenting. So he's the only one I'm aware of that are actually helping these parents, avoid the vaccinations. And that's why they're unfortunately, targeting him. But everybody needs to be aware of it. Now, Ingrid, you did mention that he may be out already. Can you enlighten us on what you know about that?
I actually don't know that for a fact, but I would be surprised. They can't keep someone in for longer than 72 hours on a contempt charge.
Oh, okay.
So I know this made a lot of news, but I think it's a little bit old. It could happen. He could be stuck there, but I would be absolutely surprised. He will hold his ground, and he should. It's absolutely against any ethicals of any ethics, ethical, an attorney to reveal confidentiality of client records.
Yeah. Because, I know, like I said, I've been personally sending thousands of people to him, so my own family, even. So that's their records, that's their rights, and he, as an attorney, has to protect. And he did the right thing, like Linda said. They ordered him to turn over his records, and he refused. So they held him in contempt and put him in jail, and we just keep him in our prayers. And everybody out there, please keep him in our prayers. And because he's standing strong for what we believe in, and that's not to poison our bloodstream. But anyway, let's go into some other things going on. Which one of you ladies would like to start first?
Go ahead, have at it, Linda.
I was just looking at over some things, and they're not like real new. But Ingrid, you want to tell them about HB 1312?
HB 1312. That's that bill in Colorado. I don't know what state, 1312. That actually died in the Senate, and so it's not going to be heard this year, but you can imagine they're going to want to bring it forward next year. So at least they're prepared. And, I don't know the latest on the Washington bill. I think it there just wasn't enough time, but I'm not sure, because it had to go back to the House because of the substantial changes the Senate made. And then Oregon is in the danger zone. So those are the ones I know about. I know New York is you know, Nazi police state, you know, how they're targeting
Orthodox Jewish community. My mom actually told me not to go to New York. We were considering driving our wellness on wheels into the city for a bunch of people wanting our scans. And she said, you don't want to drive in there because they're not allowing people in public places unless they prove they've been vaccinated.
Oh, I'm it's pretty outrageous.
Yeah, didn't they try to up that fine to $2,000?
It's they backed down to $1,000, but it's still.
Oh, they okay.
But it's still outrageous.
$1,000 a day. It's not just $1,000. It's $1,000 daily.
Yeah, exactly.
Until they comply.
So, you know, I don't know how they can force such a thing unless someone accepts medical liability, and that's what we really push is you can't inject something into someone's body that's known to cause death or permanent injury without someone accepting medical liability. So whoever is trying to enforce that, they could say, sure, you know, are you willing to sign here? I mean, I'm not paying $1,000 and I'm not going to be in jail. I'm not going to be force injected with something that is known to cause these types of injuries. So, you know, you just got to really push on the medical liability, in my humble opinion. And then, so I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about the email we got yesterday. We got it from a lady named Joy Garner. She's in California. And she started this amazing survey that's designed to capture all the healthy, unvaccinated people out there, or even partially vaccinated. And so she has a detailed survey, and you don't have to put your name if you don't want to, but she's going to have that in case they want someone's testimony. It's going to go all the way up to the federal district courts that aren't totally bought. And that's what she believes, that they're not totally bought. Well, I guess that remains to be seen. But right now, we don't have a strong control group, and we literally have a public health emergency. And so this is what she sent to us, and I think it's great. It's way past time. She says, we are now... she says, my name is Joy Garner, and I am the founder of the Control Group at thecontrolgroup.org. We are now conducting the largest ever epidemiological health study of unvaccinated people in preparation for a federal lawsuit to end all vaccine mandates nationwide. The surveys can be filled out anonymously. We do not need identities. Names, spaces, and signatures can all be filled in with the word anon. We are not asking for money. We are funding this ourselves, along with the momentous legal battles ahead. What we need is action from patriots at this time. Over 43% of vaccinated children in the USA are now suffering chronic, disabling, and even deadly diseases. Our early study responses are already proving that unvaccinated kids have almost zero health problems, and they are far less susceptible to serious infectious diseases. As a larger percent of these vaccine-injured children reach the age where they would otherwise have been entering the workforce, our nation's economy will collapse, and we all realize this. It's pretty serious. Many of these children require lifelong 24-hour care. This is a national public health and economic emergency. The vaccine programs represent an imminent existential threat to our nation, and these programs must be ended ASAP. So she's looking like Sally Alcordi is doing a moratorium on vaccines. Excellent. I don't know if you've had Sally Alcordi on the show or not. But
Not yet. Linda, I think right now is a real good opportunity to share one of your very divine written poems.
Oh, boy.
We need some support here.
Yeah, right? Yeah, well, for those of you who don't know, poetry's been a source of release for me over the years. So after my son's vaccine injury, it seems that mostly everything that I wrote has to do with his vaccine injury. So I'll pull something up.
Yeah, because, Linda, these are beautiful poems. It reminds us how important our struggle is to inform as many people as possible and have them firmly say no. So while your child is injured or was, you know, and is, you know, trying to recover them, you know, at least your poems speak to the heart of mothers everywhere.
Hallelujah.
thank you. Yeah. It's funny. I'm always saying them in the USB right now. Let's see here. Here's one. I don't know if I shared this with you before. It's called Pharma's Poison. Pharma shares her poison. It's in our children's brains. She thought we wouldn't notice, but we recognize her sin. She offers up her recipes and tells us that they're good while enticing those in power to mandate them if they would. Her purse is large, her scruples few. Many have obtained great wealth by pushing her toxic brew. But don't be fooled by thinking there's accountability. Laws have been passed exempting her from liability. Her tentacles reach far and wide. Don't be her victim, too. Say no to vaccination and what pharma wants forced on you.
Excellent.
Beautiful.
Yep.
So wait, I didn't hear the last sentence as well.
It says, say no to vaccination and what pharma wants forced on you.
Once forced on you.
Mm-hmm.
Once, okay. Yeah, I just keep, that's what my bumper sticker says. Vaccinations, just say no. And then to go to our website.
and that is their agenda. I mean, the healthy, what is a healthy 2020, that their agenda is to make everyone, adults included, on the CDC's vaccination schedule guideline, every one of the vaccines. I mean, they're that's their agenda.
Right.
So, you want to share some little bit about that, Ingrid? I wanted to have Laura Hayes on here to talk about that, but we haven't had the opportunity yet. But that's important
right.
for people to know.
Well, that might be in their agenda. There's been a lot of things in their agenda, you know, and it mm-hmm. does take a grassroots effort to put a kibosh on it, which is why I believe what Joy Garner has proposed is actually really important, because having... you know, hundreds of unvaccinated children and their, you know, robust health compared to 54% of all children now as vaccinated and unvaccinated are, you know, 54%. So you can imagine those are primarily, they're vaccinated that have ADHD, autism spectrum disorder, cancers, you know, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, I mean, you know, on and on and on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have so much illness in our children, and it's obviously increasing. I mean, we're seeing it, and it's, you know, it isn't just vaccines, but it's certainly the final straw, because we have Roundup, you know,
right.
they, you know, the proprietary thing they put out to get it approved is glyphosate, which does not engender cell death. It's all the other ingredients that are actually more deadly. And glyphosate is bad enough. But, yeah, I'm seeing people, I think I told you, I'm seeing people with my little scan that show really high levels of arsenic. And arsenic is a prime ingredient in Roundup. And that was shared on Basecamp,
wow.
too, by the way. But anyway, you know, it's when it comes to fertilizers and herbicides and pesticides, they don't need to show what all the other ingredients is, just what they consider the active ingredient. And the active ingredient, it was so toxic that they just put glyphosate out as the active ingredient. But that's not what causes the plants to die.
And, you know, that's a good point that you just brought up, because that's one of the reasons that they're pushing these vaccines so hard, because they don't have to go through the rigorous testing that the medications do. And, you know, they just want to use our kids as a pincushion. So.
Correct. You know, and I wanted to mention, this is, you know, why it's so important. Last time I was on, I was talking about the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System and how we started the VAERS, for short, VAERS Awareness Project. And it's about, you know, getting these post-it notes posted literally everywhere, just to raise awareness that this is a government program, that people are not reporting these injuries. And I've talked to so many people that have had a vaccine-injured child, and it was never reported to VAERS. They,
you know, there's no money in VAERS, but there's money in the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Well, they've closed the window of opportunity to, you know, a 3-year statute of limitation, and you have to have all the, you know, the lot number and all the details, and people that file often don't report the injury to VAERS. So anyhow, we have a half-page flyer, and it goes with it. So if you're, like, doing a conversation, you can just hand them one of the Post-it notes, and it says on the half-page flyer, which is nice. It fits in your purse. In 1986, the U.S. government barred parents from suing pharmaceutical companies for vaccine injuries and set up the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, a little-known mechanism whereby parents of vaccine-injured children can voluntarily report such injuries and seek compensation from the government. Due to its obscurity, less than 1% of injuries are reported to VAERS, according to, you know, official government website anyway. Even though it is a poor barometer of vaccine hazards, VAERS data is intimately involved in the licensing of vaccines. First, pre-licensure of a vaccine is obtained by comparing a vaccine to another vaccine or a non-viral vaccine contents, never to a placebo, which is the honored gold standard of scientific comparisons. After that limited formality is completed, post-licensure is determined by comparing the number of injuries reported to VAERS as well as the cases adjudicated with the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program versus the number of vaccines distributed nationwide. Obviously, distribution does not equal the number of vaccines actually used, and compensated injuries are admittedly a tiny fraction of the actual injuries known to occur. Vaccine package inserts admit that product trials followed the subjects for only 4 to 5 days to monitor for adverse reactions. These trials are the only safety monitoring that occurs prior to FDA approval and licensing. This is why reporting vaccine adverse reactions to VAERS is essential to assess more accurately the injuries caused by vaccines often required for school and employment. And the VAERS Awareness Project Post-it note highlights the various known injuries that have been compensated for through the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. And as of April 2019, $4.1 billion has been paid out to the program.
Wow.
Well, that's just a half page that you could hand to someone just to kind of enlighten them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now it's comfortable for me, you know, to approach anyone. Unfortunately, as I was telling you, I'm only running into families with children that they no longer vaccinate or they completely aren't vaccinated. But I just met someone at the community garden who wanted a plot, and she had 4 kids with her, and she was sharing with me how her oldest boy had kidney failure and had to have a kidney transplant, and showed me, she lifted up his shirt and showed me the scar. And it was after that, I mean, he was really young, an infant. And after that, she did serious research and never vaccinated again.
Excellent. Excellent. My mother just told me about someone here in Florida, a 3-year-old little boy that I guess was, like, you know, given the label of cancer from the vaccinations. And the parents did 1 round of chemotherapy, and then they decided to look into alternative stuff because he reacted so negatively to it. And they literally came and took the child away from them. And you know, this is what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with Nazi America here, people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just crazy that we're allowing them to do this stuff. And that's why it's so imperative to get the education in the misinformed masses' hand. You know, I have the ability to get it in more public places. You, audience, anyone listening, has the ability to plant seeds just like you do with our Educate Before You Vaccinate business cards. It's all about educating the misinformed masses, because we don't know. We don't know these vaccines have the ingredients on the back of our card. We don't know what Ingrid's telling you about the VAERS. Ingrid, please give the audience the information as far as how to order your VAERS Awareness Project stuff.
Well, you can go to vaclib.org. That's V-A-C-L-I-B, short for Vaccination Liberation, .org. And at the top of the page, under miscellaneous or something. Miscellaneous. It'll say books, videos, and tapes, and then you'll click on pads. It'll have it like a category, and just click on pads for things that are for sale. And then we also, if you go to the searches, we have a keyword index. It's very extensive. And I would, you know, just as soon talk about that before Joy comes on, because in the keyword index, you can go to under V for VAERS Awareness Project. So it's under V. Yeah, just below VAERS itself in the vaccine injury table. So also on our keyword index, we just added an article under Plotkin and Matheson. Now, Dr. Stanley Plotkin is considered what, you know, many people call the godfather of vaccines, but he's authored the textbook on vaccines that has been you know, on the market for the past, you know, 20, 30 years. And I have an older edition. They were always like $200. It's a, you know, valuable resource for sure, but he was part of developing all the vaccines since the polio vaccine. That's the guy. So, it, you know, introduced aborted fetal cell lines, that's the guy. So there was a court case in Michigan, Lori Matheson versus Mr. Schmidt, the father, anyway, and Lori was bringing a suit as the plaintiff because the father wanted to vaccinate their daughter, and she had two reasons, both religious, because of the aborted fetal cell lines, and a history of health issues in the family. So she had medical and religious reasons for not wanting to vaccinate the daughter because she had watched her health decline and her family's health decline and have, you know, allergies and severe asthma and, you know, these kinds of things. So anyway, the her attorney pulled in Aaron Seary, from New York, who is very well-versed on the vaccine issue. And so this New York attorney conducted the deposition because you want, you know, when you're doing cases like that, you want to get expert witnesses. Well, how did that Plotkin ever get deposed? I mean, how would even anyone use him for a court case? Well, apparently, I think his name was Michael. Michael Schmidt, apparently he went ahead and went to Vaccinate Now or one of these pro-vaccine sites, and he was, you know, trying to find a contact and found someone that said, we need an expert witness, you know, so, you know, who are you going to bring to me because I have a court case? So you'd think they'd be chomping at the bit. I'll be an expert witness. Well, Paul Offit passed it on. Who is that other guy? Peter Hotez. They passed it on. They all passed the buck. They said, I know. We'll get Stanley Plotkin. Oh, man, was that exciting, you know, because when you have an expert witness, both sides can depose them and ask questions, and it's part of the record. So what they did is he deposed him for 8.5 hours, and that's now on YouTube. It's official.
Oh, yeah, I saw
document.
That.
So there's people that have actually written based on this testimony, and one of the guys is, where is it? I asked him to post it. Maybe he hasn't posted it yet. Anyhow, we got it from this Venu. It's a complicated Indian-sounding name, but he's been writing extensively medical journal-style articles and posting them and getting them published in, you know, relatively unknown journals, but they are peer-reviewed, and they're there. Yeah, so, yeah, it was Michael Schmidt. So maybe, yeah, I asked him to post it in this section, but he didn't. But you can go there to Plotkin Dash Matheson in the keyword index of searches and get all that information. It's amazing. But, yeah, people are having a heyday with that because what he admits in that deposition, I mean, it's brilliant, the questioning. The transcript to me is better because, you know, I can read it and highlight and, you know, pull stuff out. But there's 9 videotapes, 9 parts on YouTube. Yeah, all 9 parts, so it would take a while to go through. But, yeah, so that's that.
And I find it exciting that all this information is getting out in an incredibly credible forum, you know, where, you know, we have a legal document now, we have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. court case, we have Del Bigtree with Informed Consent Action Network. He has a 80-plus page document on his website, his response to Health and Human Services that's intensely footnoted and documented. That's at ICANDecide.org. So we have these kind of documents that really lend to winning in a court case, and that's where Joy Garner, who's going to be called up in a little bit, she comes in because she's going to be able to win. We have all this credible evidence now, and she's going to be able to win. The only thing missing is all the proof of the vital health of the unvaccinated, and that's the only missing piece. And if we can spread the controlgroup.org, her website, and get people to take the survey, she's compiling it. She has friends and volunteers that, you know, are absolutely 100% behind getting as many people to fill out the survey as possible. And they're going to be printing them out and compiling them and removing the identities of everyone. But they will be numbered, of course, and organized so that they can go back to the original information if they needed to pull someone up and ask them if they would testify.
That's wonderful. And a lot of this is on the front page of our website. We're getting ready to be transferring our website over to a new host where we'll get other links like Ingrid's VAERS Awareness Project up so people can order her brochures, as well as reminding everybody about our Educate Before You Vaccinate business cards. They're huge with the ingredients on the back. We're back to giving them out for free now. So if someone cannot afford anything and they want to do something, please contact us. And my parents do our shipping. Just email the vic@vacinfo.org, and my mother will send you out a package of the Educate Before You Vaccinate business cards. Just making people aware, because the biggest issue I find, and Linda, I know you're going to agree with me as a victim, we just don't know this stuff. The masses out there, all they're watching is the TV, which is funded by the drug companies. You know, right. The news stations, the everything we see on the television, the commercials, everything is what they want you to see. So most people out there do not know this stuff, right, Linda?
That's right. And back when we filed the lawsuit, we had filed a lawsuit in 2001 against the thimerosal in vaccines. And, you know, how do you find a court anymore with a judge that doesn't have interest in the pharmaceutical companies? Because our one day that we had in court, the judge had to excuse herself because as the pharmaceutical rep is reading off all of their names for all of their for their organizations and all of their businesses, you know, the judge was like, well, you know, do you own this company? And sure enough, they did. So she had to recuse herself. Is that how they said? She had to excuse herself from the case. And that
was the problem, you know, in the Lori Matheson case versus Michael Schmidt. Her attorney in Michigan didn't research enough of the judge's background. And the judge, his sister, by blood, is on the ACIP, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, is in all these pro-vaccine groups in Michigan, and very involved with the pharmaceutical industry. So the judge's own sister, I mean, that would, you know, and then she was definitely, she suppressed the deposition. It took a year for the case to move forward. They had to figure out strategy, how to make sure that this kid got vaccinated, because that was the judge's imperative, to make sure the kid got vaccinated, even in the face of the evidence from the Plotkin deposition. So if it were me, I mean, I would have appealed the whole case and had the judge recused.
Well, the thing is, that was the third judge. According to my attorney at the time, there were two judges that could not take the case because of conflicts of interest. So they're all making money off the backs of our sick children. And so how do you even get someone to hear the case that doesn't have their hands in the pot? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, this is why she's taking it up to the federal level. She's finding all these judges to be bought out, too, and she believes at the federal level they're not all bought out. But I know, and when she, and it can always be appealed to the Supreme Court, and now that we have broken the tie and we have Kavanaugh in there, she thinks that with the current Supreme Court, we can overturn Bruce Wiss versus Wyeth, and also, and just, you know, put a moratorium on it because it is a public health crisis. So she thinks that could actually happen at the federal level.
That would be awesome.
So, you know, we can certainly ask her. She should be on momentarily.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's excellent. Yeah, because it's got to be, you know, an answer for the victims, which is many, obviously. And then all the new babies coming in. I mean, we have babies born every day. We just had a member come for a scan that they had a brand new baby, and, you know, they almost killed the mother with the epidural, and then they, I'm sure, took the baby away and behind the back, behind the scenes. And I teach people this, that as fast as they put a thermometer under their arm, they stick a needle of a hepatitis B into their arm if you're not staring at the baby the whole time. So, I mean, they're just the daily injuring, probably by the minute, so many babies. And this is even after the prenatal vaccines, the ones they're giving their mothers, as well as the generational vaccine damage. And, you know, we just got to get the information out to these people and, you know, and make them aware of what we had to learn the hardest way possible. Things that Ingrid, her mother, Waleem James, you know, way back when, you know, they've been trying to help us for so long. And we just didn't listen, Ingrid.
I know. Well, you know, we didn't have the forum of the mainstream media, that's for sure. And that's the whole thing. You know, you don't have that kind of forum. And then we go a little deeper. We believe that a disease causes germs, not the other way around. So that's a little bit of a deeper understanding than most people have.
That's right. And that's something my husband teaches after I do my message. It's so important that we need to know that, you know, Louis Pasteur admitted to the scientist Antoine Bichamp years ago. What year was that, Ingrid?
Oh, it was late 1800s. I don't remember the exact year, but it was late 1800s.
Long time ago, right when they first started introducing the poison, the vaccinations. But anyway, Louis tried to say to Antoine that germs cause disease, and Antoine was saying, no, it's the inner condition of you upon exposure to the disease. And he even proved to Dr. Pasteur that there was, that, you know, it was the inner condition, and he even admitted that he's right, it's the cellular terrain. But meanwhile, the drug companies, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, the one that owns the drug companies, they saw dollar signs behind that whole premise of germs causing disease, and it's a big fat lie.
Well, that was the whole thing. Pasteur was a student of Bechamp, who was a brilliant microbiologist, by the way, and that would have been the fork that in the road that we should have taken the other fork, but they got a hold of Pasteur. Pasteur was not that great a student, but he perverted and twisted the ideas because there was money behind it. So they got a hold of him because they grabbed onto that concept, and then and they saw the value of it in, you know, manipulating the masses and having them dependent on a medical system that they developed. So with that, but on his deathbed, he realized he was going to meet his maker. So that's when he recanted. Not until he was on his deathbed that the soil is everything, the germ is nothing. But that was, you know, it wasn't until, you know, it's usually not until the very end. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be having to, you know, deal with the afterlife and, you know, an evaluation of what I did and or didn't do. So yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And it's just crazy how this information's not out there and people just don't know this stuff. I mean, Linda, did you know that germs didn't cause disease back then?
Well, I know now that you can inject biological toxins for immunity. Duh. But, you know, they're wearing those white coats and, you know, you need a plumber, you call a plumber. So you want to protect your children. And as a first-time mother, I wanted to make sure that I was doing everything I could for my children. Of course, they don't give you any information. They don't give you any information. And when you ask for, like, for example, I asked for package insert, and
it was humanly impossible to read it with the naked eye. You'd have to have like a microscope to read.
Right, magnifying glass. So is Joy on? Were we able to get her?
I'm not sure. Progressive Radio Network, they would be bringing her on, I guess, if you asked them to. Nice. I got a storm going on in the background. You hear that lightning and thunder?
I asked them to call her because I don't know what the studio number is either.
If you gave them her number, they should be calling her whenever you told them to. But if not, we'll definitely get them on.
To call her, then she would call it. Is all. Because I feel like this is a really important thing that she started. And I really want to, get this out in a huge way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just if you don't mind, I'm on her website now. Linda, I haven't told you about it yet. thecontrolgroup.org, thecontrolgroup.org. And the survey's on the front page, and she says, it's obvious in the interest of public health to document the true risk or benefits of unavoidably unsafe medical interventions mandated by force of state police powers. Only through documentation of true control can the truth be known. Pharma is fighting to eliminate the control group. So long as enough of us remain unvaccinated, we represent the most powerful vaccine safety evidence available, but this does not become evidence until we document it. So she's offering to download this survey Ingrid was talking about, and it's definitely something everyone needs to participate in, because it's going to take a lot of us, and just a few of us aren't going to make this happen. I mean, the drug companies obviously are a very strong force in this world. People, I'm telling you, we need to get this stuff done. We need to get the cards. We need to get the VAERS Awareness Project. I think it's time for another poem, Linda.
Yeah, and that's, she's in California where the bill is such an emergency situation there. Their special ed is, practically doubling, since SB 277. It's so incredible, the numbers. And the schools can't really handle it. Of course, they can't explain it because, of course, vaccines are always vindicated as never having a problem. So, and then you have them wanting to go, door to door pretty much and hit the homeschooling families and get rid of all the medical exemptions, or at least scrutinize them and punish doctors that do too many of them. I mean, they want to, in fact, the only medical exemption that they acknowledge is if it's a provable vaccine injury. So, in other words, only injured children can qualify for a medical exemption, not healthy ones. Because I know someone there in California now is going to school, and a medical doctor signed off because she had proof that she had the MTHFR gene that allegedly, keeps you from detoxifying these heavy metals that are in the vaccines and would lead to an autism spectrum.
Absolutely, and that's even generational vaccine damage we cover in past shows. Yeah. And there's no law that even mandates for these pediatricians to report a vaccine injury. And I want to touch on that in a second, but first I want to hear another one of Linda's poems, please.
This is called Blindly I Trusted. Blindly I trusted out of fear, not heeding what I felt inside. Now a tormented spirit resides in the shell where my little boy hides. He doesn't call me mama anymore. He rocks from side to side and stares at the floor. I've been robbed of my choices and my dreams, denied the awful truth about that scene. He hits himself, he bites himself, and he doesn't feel the pain. Yet I feel it magnified. It eats me up within. Don't think that I'll forget the little boy that I once knew, or that I will give up on bringing him back too. My love will be the open door, and God will be my guide. He has the answers to retrieve the little boy inside.
Perfect. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you so much. And as I was go ahead.
It's just unbelievable, my son, this is back when he was a child, he just turned 22, and I got him help early on, and he still barely speaks, but I prayed over him every night, and I would ask God to bless him and keep him, make his face to shine upon him, and give him a voice to praise him. And do you know that one day I'm at my friend's church, and she hands him a microphone, and he starts singing? So he sings now, but he still does. He barely speaks still, but he sings, which is really amazing to me.
Yeah.
But, you know,
and the emotion and everything behind it, Ingrid, if you saw her little boy, or big boy, he's a man now, 22, taller than me, that's for sure. But anyway, when he worships the king, it's not just, you can tell it's not robotic. He's robotic when you ask him, Stevie, do you want juice or whatever? Stevie, want juice? He's robotic. But when it comes to singing, the emotions behind him, the eyes closing when he's really intimate in the words, I mean, he just like eliminates the world around him, and he just praises our king. It is the most beautiful presence to be around, on how her prayers were answered with her son, just by asking him to have him, give him a voice to sing, and it's just, we're going to have him on one show. We'll have him sing a whole show. That'll impress everybody.
Yeah, I mean, music is so wonderful to be able to use your voice in worship.
One of the things I learned early on, because, I mean, he would literally bang his head against the wall and rip his hair out. And I don't know, one day I just heard that music calms a savage beast, and I started playing music. And the minute he would hear that music, he would stop abusing himself, because, of course, he was feeling pain, and he didn't know how to tell me. And it was awful. I mean, I'm telling you what, his stools and everything... I mean, I would get up. I got up one night, and he was covered in this, I don't even like to say it, but he was covered, and he had soiled his diaper, and it was like water, and he was covered. It looked like he was covered in chocolate syrup. And when I got up, I don't know how mothers know, but they just know. And I got up, and I went to his room, and I saw him. I couldn't get him in the bath fast enough, and just crying and praying and trying to get it off of him. And do you know that little boy, he went right to sleep afterwards, and I was up till like 5 in the morning cleaning the carpet and the curtains. It was all over the place. And yeah. I just couldn't understand. I'm telling you what, my faith has really been tested through this whole experience.
Right. Because we've been told by an adult autistic in the past, Linda and I, that the reason, because also my daughter too, we had the experience of also her covering herself in her fecal matter. Do you know it's because their sensories are so damaged by the vaccinations that's a familiar smell of theirs. So it's almost like a barrier from all the senses, the overload of the senses of smelling. It kind of blocks it. Correct, Linda?
Well, I know he didn't smell it, but I did. I don't know.
But that's the whole reason, awful. She said. Remember, Julie said that the whole reason they do that is to block the overload of the senses that are coming in. So definitely the vaccines are causing, you know, just irrefutable damage to our babies, and soon enough to us if we continue allowing this mandate thing to go on. Which is their agenda. I mean, they're definitely, that's what they're all out to do, is to make sure every single one of us have the CDC schedule of vaccinations. What are you going to do in that situation, Ingrid?
Like I said, no one's
doing that to me.
It's not part of my reality. And it's certainly not happening out here. We live in a whole area of people that are aware. And we have a lot of retired feds here too that, you know, certainly would not go along with that. In fact, a lot of people won't. I was just talking at the community garden, by the way, to a military family. This is my friend's grandkids, and the grandkid, the oldest, was like 15. It's a family of like eight kids or seven or eight, but anyway, I think he had a little bit of a reaction to his shots, and so all the rest of them are homeschooled and unvaccinated. And this is a military family, and they're being transferred from Kentucky. So I'm just saying this happens, you know, where, you know, people get a clue, and these are people that are serving the country, allegedly, to protect our freedom. So I think as things get along, you know, they're going to be tested. And I just don't believe there's enough people, at least out west, that are going to enforce such orders. I just don't believe it, because I run into too many people aware.
Well, look at what happened to those troops that were vaccinated and never deployed, and they got Gulf War Syndrome. If they never went to the Gulf, how could they get Gulf War Syndrome?
Right.
Yeah, they're pincushions. They're literally experimental, they're literally experiments. I mean, the military, because they have no authority over their own body. So many of them have told us that they literally line up and just get needles in both arms as they're going down the line by multiple different people. And they're guinea pigs. So obviously that's doing generational vaccine damage that they're passing down to the children. That's also, you know, causing havoc on the cells, on the body. And then, like Ingrid said before, what you eat, breathe, and drink on top of it, Gary teaches, compounding toxicities, compounding insufficiencies, that's the cause of every single cellular malfunction, he calls, or disease label that the drug companies come up with. And it's just imperative. I do want to touch real fast. We have a few more minutes. Ingrid, you were telling me something earlier when we spoke about what you did for someone recently with sulfur. Can you please tell the audience about that if we're not going to have our guest today?
Okay. Well, my friend, she lives in, her name is Joan, and she lives in western part of Spokane, the city, the west part. Anyway, she's elderly. She's turning 82 in a few days, and I had no idea. She's very active on our Yahoo group. You probably see her post if you ever go to our Yahoo group, April.
April Renee. I get the emails in my inbox. My mother kind of keeps up with our emails, so I don't get to see a whole lot of them, but I definitely keep an eye on it. I just can't dissect stuff, unfortunately.
Well,
I'm only one person. I'm sure you understand.
I understand. She posts regularly, and Anyway, she told me she had been sick for 2.5 months, and she's ready to meet her maker. I mean, pretty much that sick. And she made it like she had walking pneumonia, and she's blaming it on the chemtrails. And I just, when someone starts getting that sick, you know, they don't think clearly, and they get despondent. Although she's a faithful person, it's very easy to get to, so she lives by herself. She didn't have any support, et cetera, et cetera. Finally, her kids, who live at the other side of the state, you know, they were so worried about her, they said, you need to get on some antibiotics. And so by the time I got to her, she was, like, doing these antibiotics. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that is the worst thing you can do. You are deficient in sulfur. So I sent her a pound bag of elemental sulfur. We call it pure organic sulfur crystals. And I made a special trip on Saturday to the post office to get it to her so she'd get it Monday. And by Monday evening, I'm calling her, and she says, I haven't opened yet. I said, oh, my gosh, you've got to do that now. And you need to do this, and this is how you take it, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she claims it saved her life, and this is why. All our soils are incredibly deficient in sulfur. Sulfur is actually what our bodies need to make glutathione. There's a lot of things your body needs to make glutathione, but sulfur is a huge ingredient. And Dr. Axe, A-X-E, you can look on his website. He has information about that, too. You know, because this is why people try to take glutathione, like as a supplement or injections, and it's kind of crazy because when you want to correct your body's ability to make it itself, and you need glutathione to eliminate all these toxins from the food, air, and water, and injections. So anyway, she gave me, she called me, I think it might have been Thursday, Wednesday, I don't remember, but she says, oh my gosh, she started buying a bunch of sulfur for all her family and friends, because once she understood how important it is, she was all about it. But she didn't know how important it was because she thought MSM is MSM. Well, MSM is not MSM. I mean, it's not the same at all as elemental sulfur. I mean, it's, you know, the short chemical name is MSM. I mean, you know, that's the short name. But, oh, my gosh. I can't believe
it. Well, isn't, I mean, the myelin sheath is one of the first things that was, is compromised in these children when they get these vaccines. That's what happened to my son. You know, it wouldn't, the myelin sheath wouldn't close and cover up. So he had these, you know, spaces in the myelin sheath. And, wow, I always thought that the sulfur had something to do with it. That's amazing.
Right. Well, this is what she said. I'm just going to say, I contacted Ingrid Castle recently because I've been so ill for so long. Oh, my gosh. It's cutting me off. Google, I can't handle this. It's basically, I'm somehow, when I did a website, I got on Google. I have a hard copy here. That's nice. I contacted Ingrid Castle recently because I've been so ill for so long with what is often called walking pneumonia. Anyway, she said her health and knowledge about health issues has been valuable to me, so I told her I felt like I was going down for the last time, and did she have a life ring? Well, indeed she did. Because of her, I've been nearly miraculously helped with organic sulfur, one of the products that she has deeply researched and makes available. I had no idea that it was actually an active form of MSM. Anyway, its effects have been nearly miraculous for me, and that's not an exaggeration. Last year, I tried a highly recommended and expensive liquid form of MSM that proved useless, so I finally ended up throwing it out. Not so with this divine, crystallized form of sulfur. It helped immediately, in all caps. My energy level improved, cognitive functions resumed, and I even had my first, in a very long time, lucid dream, which told me that my pineal gland was active once again. Additionally, I've been going to physical therapy for help with lymphedema, but the sulfur works much better. I no longer awaken in the morning as bloated and swollen. Not only that, but my fiery red facial rosacea, complete with tiny pimples, which I've detested, is gone.
Excellent.
Organic sulfur is not only detoxifying me, but it is giving me elements that I've apparently been missing for a long time. My urine is less concentrated and strong, easier to pass, and even has a pleasant sweet odor. Further, I no longer have nearly constant hunger, which has plagued me for far too long, making it very difficult to keep a healthy weight. I don't know if others experience such dramatic improvements, but the above is true for me, and so I'm now recommending it for everyone.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what are you charging for that? Because I would definitely like to start carrying that for our members as well.
Okay. I charge $37. And then,
$37,
you know,
for a pound?
It is $8 shipping and handling, so it ends up being $45.
And that's for a pound of it?
Yeah, because I mailed in the priority shipper,
okay.
Yeah, so it's even $45.
Yep.
For a pound.
And then how do you take it?
Well, I pour it in hot water. I have like a sheet that I send with people how to make it more pleasant tasting, because initially most people are so deficient it tastes really bitter. But after you get used to it, it doesn't bother you. But initially, just to get it down, you can mix it with a little juice or apple cider vinegar or lemon. It kind of, you know, takes the edge off.
And you have instructions with it when we purchase it?
Oh, I have all of that, all the detail, and I have articles on our website, all that.
Excellent.
Stuff.
Yeah, we definitely need to get that into us as well. We're on last couple of minutes. Linda, do you want to share another poem, sweetheart, before we close out?
Why am I on
this
phone
line? Here's just a little short one. Protect our children. Join the fight. Make it your business to know their rights. Don't let them be victimized. We have a choice. Love our children. Be their voice.
Hallelujah.
Love y'all.
Hallelujah. Everyone, thank you for listening. We're going to be on again. These are my co-hosts, Ingrid and Linda. When we don't have a guest, we're going to be inviting them on, because we have a wealth of information between the three of us. So thank you, ladies. Please let Joy know that we have an opening next week or in the next couple of weeks if she's available.
Okay.
And you're listening to Vic Fellowship. Our shows can be listened on the front page of our website, on the belly of a little boy, flexing his muscles. We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Our contact number is 800-939-8227. Ingrid's website, once again, is vaclib.org, B as in Victor, A-C-L-I, B as in boy, .org. Again, if you have any questions about today's show, just call the voicemail line 862-800-6805. Leave your name, your question, and let them know it's for our What in the Cell is Going On show. We thank Progressive Radio Network for allowing us to give you this uncompromised truth. And y'all bless.